Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
We are tomorrow, the greatest team of all. We're always on the ball. We play the game as it should be played.
Welcome to the 2017 Clicking Balls season primer for the Geelong Cats. My name is Heath, and with me is Josh.
Yep.
And Brenton.
G'day. We've
got to work on those intros. We need catchphrases and something.
Yeah, it gets a bit cheesy, though. So, I mean, we didn't even used to do introductions. It was just, yep, I'm me and you're you and
you'll
that
figure it out. Yeah. You get used to the voice.
Yeah, maybe we'll leave that one until next season.
Yeah, fuck them. All right, Geelong. First off, we'll have a look at 2016 from them. They had 17 wins and finished second. Big things predicted, obviously, with Dangerfield coming in. He delivered better than any recruit probably ever has before.
Yeah.
Having said that, finishing second is a good result, but losing in the prelim, especially the way they did, is the only disappointment for him on the season.
Yeah, I mean, you're still impressed with how Dangerfield could just slot into that team and sort of own it in the midfield. And, I mean, they still had some injuries and a few little holes in their game, but overall, I mean, they've been a dynasty for so long that you're still waiting for them to fall like other teams. They still haven't done it yet. So I think that any time they finish in top four, it's still like a win.
I think it was really Dangerfield ended up poisoned by the amount of leather he got when they played North.
So that was the game we were at, weren't we? Sitting up high.
Yeah, where at the end of the game, everyone was applauding him just because he was racking up. I think he got 51.
So I think I have to look it up, but I reckon he got damn close to 50. If it wasn't 50, it was high 40s at least.
And it was taking the piss at the end. Like, every possession he got in the last quarter, the game was well and truly iced. So it was like, yeah, all right.
He made sure of that.
All right, he's done it to us. Fair play to the lad.
I think they had a couple of hiccups against the Swans, though. That's what ended up being their Achilles heel for the year. The game down in Geelong, where the Swans were under all the pressure, and they just brought it, and Geelong almost wilted.
Yeah.
And then obviously in the prelim final, where same thing, really. They just came out.
Yeah,
Which was disappointing for Geelong because they had such a good year up to there.
Yeah, well, I think there was only a couple of blips in the season, which were a couple of losses. Mainly Etihad, I think. They lost maybe St Kilda. They lost one game too, I think.
Yeah, that was the last kick of the game too.
Yeah, something like that.
Gresham.
Yeah.
And they obviously lost to Carlton too, which was a bit of a shock.
Yeah, but apart from that, I mean, pretty consistent. Just looking at where the teams around them are, it's hard to see them getting ahead of those teams, but yet again, they tend to outdo themselves year after year. So I think they have the ability to, but whether they actually get there or not, it's going to depend on the other teams with their injuries and stuff.
Yeah, I just looked it up. It was 48 disposals that game.
48.
Yeah. Not bad effort. But it was, you know, the highest profile trade in the off-season, and like we said, it couldn't have gone better.
Yeah.
Selwood still didn't look second rate by any means, did he?
Right, and absolutely.
Obviously, them together is worth more than them apart.
Yeah, and I mean, Selwood's always been a solid performer, but he did look like he could use a bit of a rest from having to carry that team. So I'm sure he was great for the time just to sit back and watch the Dangerfield show.
Yeah,
get that pressure off him
and see a bloke that gets the hard balls without bleeding everywhere.
Yeah, yep.
And I just looked it up. Like Selwood's only 28 at the minute. He'll turn 29 this year. So
looking every bit of 40.
Yeah. He might be the one where skill-wise he can keep going, but geez, he takes some knocks, especially to the head.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think he should just start the match with a headband on?
I think he does a lot of the times.
Yeah.
Sometimes in the warm-ups, he brushes past and gets a cut on the forehead. Must have that much scar tissue up there.
I mean, if there's anyone that's a candidate for wearing a helmet, it's got to be him, doesn't it?
Surely.
Got to go close.
Couldn't get uglier.
Let's have a look at their off-season then. They've had a few big outs. We'll start with some of the easier ones. Mitch Clark, who succumbed to injuries. His struggles with injuries as well as mental health have been well documented.
Yeah.
It's it's a shame his career's gone that way because he could have been anything.
Mm. Yeah.
But he's his third club. He just couldn't get consistent time on the field.
Do they know where what his plans are, like, post his career?
I haven't seen it.
I'm sure if he had some sort of role as an ambassador for AFLPA in regards to mental health or something like that.
Especially how open he's been with it and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so you'd see him having some sort of, player role there through the AFLPA and their wellness or whatever they call it, division.
Yeah, more likely.
Interesting off-season too. I wonder if Selwood's maybe feeling a bit of pressure from Dangerfield, because Dangerfield's a quick bloke. Like, over 10 metres, yep. No one catches him.
No.
So, obviously, Chris Scott has just said, you want to work on your speed, and he's decided I'll have a fair crack down the highway and manage to get up to 127.
Yeah, well, you make these mistakes, you cop it on the chin. And I think he did too. Like, he came out and said, oh, look, I was overtaking someone, but I did it.
Yep.
At least he didn't say he was chasing his dog who was after a frisbee or some shit.
Or I just couldn't wait to get out of fucking Geelong.
Yeah. I do like the way that Geelong have dealt with it, though. They're going, look, he fucking did it. All right,
yep.
It's bad, and they've lost a big sponsor over it too, in a place that could do with some industry and do with some sponsors.
Yeah, but a bunch of teams have lost TRC.
Definitely true.
Yeah, they're say they're about the third or fourth team.
And
though.
I mean, it's been handy with Dugowie having his own little controversy as well.
Yeah,
it's taking some pressure off.
Have TRC got any sponsorships left in AFL?
Under 18s.
Yeah, well, I don't think they sponsor any AFL teams, do they?
I'm not that I'm aware of. I know they used to sponsor the Tigers.
Yeah, then we fucked up with that.
Then that happened. And then Collingwood as well.
They used to, yeah. And now Geelong. But I know that it's even worse for Geelong because they were the biggest employer in Geelong since Shell and Ford fucked off.
Well, I mean, why don't they... Really, it's just an opportunity for Uber to get in there because that solves two problems.
There they are.
Create some employment, also gives them a little bit of... sort of awareness, what you call exposure that they don't need.
And another safety net they could use.
Yeah, exactly.
Tax write-off.
So that's Mitch Clark. Shane Kirsten, who's headed over home west. Surplus to needs.
Yeah, really. Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's a problem that they've got at the moment.
Yeah.
I honestly can't think of a highlight.
No, I think he's taking some good marks, usually against Hawthorn. But he will be more value to Frio than he will be to Geelong.
Against Hawthorn, it's probably just because every other bastard's belting each other.
Close to it. If you look after the ball, you do all right. Billy Smets and Josh Caddy. Again, it's just sort of there or thereabouts players.
I don't mind Smets. Nothing that you'd trade the world for, but yeah, I think there might be something there.
Yeah, look, I didn't mind Smets either when he played, but I think he needs to leave Geelong in order to reach his potential.
Maybe.
There's just too many good guys ahead of him to really get that run. But before I did see him, I didn't mind. And I mean, Caddy was serviceable up back. Still, they got rid of him.
If there's a team you're going to reach your potential at, Carlton will be it.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah,
usually when leaving Carlton.
Yeah, well, they haven't picked up a couple of good youngsters, so...
Actually, we've gone through that, but yeah.
They've also lost Vardy, who, again, like, that is... When we say surplus to needs, tall stocks is what is they have the most in.
Yeah.
And Vardy's injury as well really hampered his time at Geelong, so he's headed over west as well.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, I mean, with Zach Smith there, who's... 206 centimetres or something.
And played well last year.
Yeah, it's hard to really find a spot you're going to fit in without injuries.
Really coming into his prime now.
As soon as Nat Nui went down, I think they pretty much knew they had to pick up someone like Vardy.
Yeah.
They grabbed Petrie as well just to make sure. But
just a little bit of extra insurance. And the two big ones, Bartell and Enright, who I think Enright goes out as the game's record holder down at Geelong. And Bartell, 300-plus games, three flags, a Brownlow.
Still playing good footy too.
Norm Smith.
Yeah, you know,
he's done a fair bit.
Playing a lot. Grew a beard, the big fella for charity.
Yeah,
God bless him.
Did you see the video after he shaved it off with his little bub? Didn't recognise him.
No. Yeah, I did actually. Yeah.
That was for a good cause, wasn't it? Domestic violence, something like that.
I'm really glad with Bartell is one of my favourite players to watch.
Yep.
And he carved it up against Hawthorn time and time again.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that he got to retire on his terms.
Yeah.
Because the head knocks he was copping. Throughout his career, it looked like he'd never reach, have as long a career as he did.
Looked like he'd be Jonathan Brown out of a career.
Yeah, yeah.
But I found he managed to sort of accommodate that into his style of play and was constantly,
concussed,
finding a new role for himself in that team. It wasn't always going to be, full on the ball, kick, pushing forward. He found that ability to drop back and play kick behind the play.
Actually, with the, obviously, he did have a couple of concussions, and I'm pretty sure Selwood's completely concussed 24/7. Did they release any of the data from the JLT about the concussion?
Oh, about the little stats? Things they wore behind their ears?
Yeah. I remember watching that and thinking, what the fuck is that? And then it came out that they're the G-Force sensors or something like that.
No, I didn't think to even research that to find out if they released any data. I don't imagine it would be public.
I imagine they're still passing it, if anything.
I mean, yeah. You have to imagine it's like a legitimate set-up scientific research, you know what I mean? Yeah. So,
and I mean, the data even might be so raw that you wouldn't understand it even if you were given it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, just a big massive Excel table of accelerations or something.
You need somebody who knows what they're looking for as well to then translate it and then to write it out and then Jai Bednall to steal that.
Well, I guess it'd be like F1. It'd be the
I don't know. I don't know if Jai reads journal articles, so it'd be a bit hard.
I guess it'd be like F1. It'd be the delta Vs, like the not just the acceleration, but the change in acceleration and then the sudden, all that sort of shit.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see what comes out of it, just because with what's happening in the NFL, obviously concussions becoming a major part of liability, whether the AFL goes, fuck, this is bad, we've got to put everyone in helmets.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll wait for Jai to copy and paste the abstract and we'll find out.
Well, just very quickly on that, then the NFL, that's actually a lot of smart people say go the other way and get rid of their helmets.
Yeah,
exactly. But, you know, that's they've got the hard helmets,
so that's a bit different too. Yeah.
So we'll have a look at their ins then, and I think they've done very well on the ins. Aaron Black is okay. He's been an okay player, but I think, you know, losing Shane Kirsten and then gaining Aaron Black, you haven't really lost or gained anything there, so it's a bit of a wash.
Yeah, that's what, his third team? Fourth team.
It's definitely his third.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's definitely at least his third. I don't think it's a fourth. But
where was he last year?
North. Well, VFL.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think he... Did he play a game last year for North? He was at North, but I don't think he played a game.
Surely he would have. I mean, you had to give him a go, wouldn't you?
Yeah. He might have played a few, but it wasn't many. And that's why he was looking for other opportunities.
Yeah, he was just unfortunately hunted out. Like, I think he's actually a very good player. He's got some fantastic snaps. But,
yeah, he's got a good grab too. Yeah.
He's just not quite as good as what North had. But I think he could turn into anything.
Yeah, I think even less. I mean, it's not like North had Tom Hawkins up forward, taking time off him. And it looks like Geelong are playing Harry Taylor in the forward 50 as well. Mm. So if Harry Taylor and Tom Hawkins are fit, Aaron Black's just playing VFL.
Yeah, exactly.
So maybe that's what it is for him. It's a bit of,
Well, I think the difference between him and Kirsten was that Black's still got a little bit of potential left in him.
Maybe.
He's younger than they figure too.
Is he?
Yeah. Mind you, he had a breakout season and then kind of...
disappeared.
Just stop start. And a lot of it apparently was, well, you never know unless you're in the club, but it was between his ears. Like, he was a bit I deserve.
Yeah,
and then you had a bloke like Mason Wood come along who everyone's gone, well, hang on, he's younger and he's looking like he might have more potential. Mate, you're surplus.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that he did a knee in the end just didn't really help matters. But, look, he's got skills, but he just doesn't have the work rate currently, and maybe that's changed. I don't know, but
like you said, third or fourth club, whatever it is, there's not many people that go on after that.
Yeah,
so it's his last roll of the dice. Hopefully, he gets a chance because I reckon he does have a good game in him.
And let's be honest, the delivery from the midfield will be better than he's ever had before. Yeah. So if he can't kick a bag
probably more
full,
frequent too.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, if you can't kick a bag full, sitting, you know, next to Big Tomahawk, he's not going to ever do it.
And I think one of the most underrated trades of last year's trade period is Zach Tui over to Geelong.
Yeah, yep.
Absolute quality player. And I had a look at his record. So this is his seventh season in the AFL. Obviously mature and coming from Ireland and all that kind of stuff. But he's never played in a winning season. So his best season has been 12-12.
Damn.
At Carlton. So his lifetime win rate is something like 40%. Whereas you look at Joel Selwood, who's 78-79%.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting. I believe that, you know...
Delidio's got him.
Well, he's going to start remembering a team song, so...
That good players like him become excellent players in excellent sides.
Mm, yeah.
So to see him with a winning culture around him and real...
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Top of the talent.
Yeah.
I think that's such a great pickup for
him. Yeah, definitely. Where do you think they'll end up playing him? Because, I mean, they've got winners each line. Do you reckon...
He's a cross halfback. He has to be a cross halfback. Yeah. He's so dangerous.
Yeah.
With his speed, and his kicking is not a liability at all, like some of the Irishmen can be.
Yeah. And also fills in the hole that Caddy would sort of part-time fill in there.
Yeah. And... No, like, he is a great defender. Like, he will run and chase and cover his man before he goes and tries to get the attack.
Yeah. And Thurlow comes back in the side as well. And I reckon he's shown a bit too.
Shown all right, yeah.
Yeah.
So let's have a look at 2017. Looking at their draw, their double-up games are Hawthorn, Adelaide, Collingwood, GWS and Fremantle. Not too bad. But I did notice... one peculiar thing with their draw is, well, not peculiar, but something interesting. Round 23, they play at home against GWS. That could be an absolute bottler of a game if top four spots are still up for grabs.
Yeah. So they actually still don't play at Skills Stadium until, I think, it's round 9 or something as well.
Yeah, I think they're still doing works there and all that kind of crap.
But that means they play some home games at Etihad Stadium, which I think is only going to work into Geelong's favour.
Into their favour.
Yeah, well, I think they've got that experience of playing there, and some of the good teams, that's their home ground now, so I think it puts them in a sort of better stead against those teams that are going to be fighting for the same positions on the ladder.
Well, it depends too. Like, I haven't got their draw up, but if they're playing home games at Etihad against, like, the Bulldogs or Saints, that's not good at all. Yeah. Which they are,
Depends on how they go, really, though, because the main advantage that the Saints and Bulldogs have there is that they play it so often.
Yeah.
They understand the ground, whereas if Geelong start to get that experience, maybe they adapt just as well.
Yeah. A couple of big wins there last year as well. So I think they might have beaten the Saints and maybe North there.
Well, they gave North a fair fucking
They gave North a high. They didn't beat the Saints. Remember, that was the we talked about at the start.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Gresham kicked that goal. But, I mean, Carlton got them at Etihad last year as well. Double up against the Hawks. Well, they only played the Hawthorn once last year, so it's been a while for that.
Yeah.
And I think that it was quite comfortable. It was Dangerfield's first game.
Yeah.
I think that's a good double up for Geelong. In Collingwood, they'll give Collingwood an absolute hiding.
Yeah, it'll be a bath. Fremantle, to me, is the unexpected one. You don't know who's going to turn up. And secondly, also, the big news for 2017 for Geelong will be the change in the rules.
With the third man up.
They're the team that probably did that the most.
Yeah.
Blitzarst made pretty much a career out of it.
Well, do you reckon they still play him in the ruck with this third man up rule? Yeah.
Well, they weren't really playing him in the ruck. They were playing him
off a
wing or you know ruck rover sort of position.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't know if he slots in the side.
Really? Jesus. I think they'll play Zach Smith, obviously, as a main ruck, but I reckon Zach Smith is good at the ruck, but he's pretty shit around the ground. So
true.
I think they'll use Blitzarst to cover their ruckman around the ground and just have Zach Smith just as a straight-up ruckman.
He's athletic as fuck.
Zach Smith's improved, and I think this is coming up to year 7 for him.
About that, yeah.
So he's getting into a ruckman prime age.
Yep.
So, I think last year was probably his best year so far.
Yeah.
But, I mean, before that, he was at Gold Coast, where you can't really tell.
Yeah. It's generally a pretty slow learning curve for Ruckman too, but I think he's managed to how to take a mark and kick straight from 20 out, so I mean, that's all you can ask.
Well, it'll be him and Reece Stanley, you'd think.
Yeah.
And I think Reece Stanley's more of a liability than Zach Smith.
Yeah. They've got a youngster, Ryan Abbott, I think his name as well, that they picked up, so they've still got some stocks there.
They've never been in trouble for Ruckman.
Yeah, well, that's true.
For some reason, Geelong.
Yeah.
They absolutely love him. But interesting when you say Blissarves, like, because I know he took the world on fire sort of 2015. More, and I think he won the best and fairest in 2015. Even I don't see it. Like, I'm not as enamoured as the rest of the football world seems to be.
The thing is, the mobility for a bloke his size is exceptional.
Of course, it is.
Yeah.
And I think everyone looks at that as having a tool that no one else has. It's an Adam Sandler run up tee off kind of thing.
Yeah.
But how he uses that tool has changed. Like, it won't be as effective to then be the mobile big man third man up, because you can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
So now he has to be the mobile big man option, which means running to the spots where the ball's going to be in defence or where they need the ball to get to in offence. And I don't think he reads the play as well. I'm with you in that he has enormous potential because he's got a weapon that a lot of other players don't have. But can he execute?
I think he's a larger version of, remember Trent Crowd, who used to be like an absolute supreme athlete, but you still got to make a footballer out of him. And he's come a long way from when he started, but to me, he's not that elite ball user that you need out of the midfield.
Yeah.
And mind you, it's hard to look like an elite ball user or elite midfielder when you're standing next to Dangerfield and Selwood.
Should be able to fucking learn something from him then.
Yeah. You'd hope so.
Well, I figure they can play him on the wing, let him be able to run behind the play or push forward and not have to be that accountable for someone else like you would as a midfielder.
And again, my Hawthorn bias comes into it a bit because I saw, like, Hawthorn used to put Bradley Hill on him. And they go, you know, so what if you're a foot taller? You've got to keep up with him.
Yeah,
true. You're a great runner for a 6'10" bloke, but when it comes to one of the fastest ones out there, he got left behind a lot of the times.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's only, you know, one or two games a year, and that's just what I saw out of it. Yeah. But anyway. So, who is in for a big year from Geelong?
The Kai Cockatoo for me.
100% agree. Damn, he looked good in the JLT.
And also, last season, he showed those... flashes that, yeah, you fucking hate when words like get thrown around, but Cyril like of just X factorness, like just ability to juggle the ball, grab the possession when you think he's going to lose it. He fucked him up a few times too, but was just able to do those special things.
I think he misses out round one with suspension,
but
it was an unlucky one. It was a bump that went high, but it wasn't from cowardice or, you know, trying to be too aggressive. It was unlucky, and it was attacking the ball. But I hate using preseason form to make a judgment on the rest of the year.
But let's do it.
We
use no evidence normally, so preseason. I'm going to
say it's more than usual. He looked like he was making very smart decisions, more so than you'd expect from a second or a third year player.
Yeah, I found him works really well in tight spaces.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a belter for me in fantasy football as well last year.
I remember there's one. There's footage, your bias. I can't remember exactly, but just working it, keeping it in right on the boundary line, pretty much making a fool out of players around him.
Yeah,
Eddie Betts-ish.
Yeah, even better, I reckon.
Hang on. He's going to be a really solid 20. Well, I was going to say 23 games, but 20 odd game contributor this year for him.
Yep.
And the other one, like I said, was Zach Tui, who we said at the start.
Yeah.
I thought he's played exceptional in a really poor side.
Yeah.
So how he turns out in an even better side is going to be amazing. Especially with guys like, if Harry Taylor plays down back, but Lonergan and Mackie,
exactly.
Running off them, I mean, they take a lot of marks in their back line.
Yeah.
Geelong, so.
Yeah, I've got, Mitch Duncan had his best season last year, so I'd be interested to see how he steps up again from last season. And I think that he will push his way into that, backing up Dangerfield and... Selwood.
More of a leadership role,
too,
with Enright and Bartel
exactly
leaving.
But the young one I think that's going to be one to look out for is Sam Menegola, is the mature age recruit they got in. Yeah.
What? Mengele?
Yeah, sure. He played 8 games last year, averaged 24 disposals, just under 5 inside 50s. 25 years old, so I think he's one that's going to really be the backup role to that midfield. He was a midfielder, but you wouldn't be surprised to see him playing on a wing or small forward spots.
Yeah.
88 kilos, so he's got some mungle about him.
Yeah. He ought to be all right. And finally, I put down Tommy Hawkins as well. I mean, you know what you're going to get out of him, but again, JLT, he looks fit.
Yeah,
he looks like he's there is no puppy fat left, which has been his whole career.
Yeah, exactly. But you find season by season, he's slowly getting into that shape as well. So, I don't know what it is. Maybe just a change in training attitude or something like but it's working.
Less dairy in the diet.
Yeah, true.
So that's the good news then. Who's in trouble?
Stevie Motlop. Yeah. When you turn up fat.
Well, it was very interesting, wasn't it, last year when he turned up to preseason training overweight and they said, no, it's nothing, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the year, he had a poor year and they went, yeah, he was, wasn't he? Turned it on. So he's got to turn it on this year and he can't fade in and out of games.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. I think he's, if he doesn't have a good season, he could almost be,
he's out.
A second round pick or something. Yeah, he's trade bait.
They'll fuck him off. He'll have value, don't get me wrong, because all they'll do is put him on some lean cuisine and he could turn up good. But his peak is good, but it happens maybe once a quarter. And if that.
He can fade out very quickly.
Yeah, it's one of those guys where you know he's got talent, but he knows it too.
Yeah.
And he just comes across that way. Like, for all I know, he could be an absolute champion bloke, but he just seems to be a bit, I deserve.
A little bit, he likes his music too, doesn't he? Is he likes to get the guitar out, I think?
I don't know. He's done that on the footy show a couple of times. And well, you know, as a guitarist, he makes a good footy player.
I also put down Aaron Black as well, but we've already spoken about him.
Yeah.
But also Scott Selwood.
Yeah, that's who I got down.
Scott Selwood's been added to the leadership group this year.
Really?
And I'm not sure if he's in the best 22.
What, in the physio department?
No.
God knows. Well, I mean, I don't know.
He came in with an ankle injury and he only played 5 games last year. Like, he played pretty well when he was playing, but there's people competing for his spots that are up and coming and they're, you know, really pushing for that spot, like Sam Manigola.
Oh, Guthrie. And
Guthrie, yeah, exactly. So I just don't see...
Other Guthrie too.
That they have a spot for him, to be honest.
Well, the only thing he's leading is the tour of the Cardinia Park. Like, how much time can... How can you be the leader if you're not on the field?
I thought the same thing. I thought it was a very peculiar choice.
Unless he's getting elevated to coach.
I understand. He's been around the system a long lot and probably knows what's going on.
So is the boot starter.
But if you're looking at, you know, you've named your 21 players and you've got the 22nd spot and it's between Scott Selwood or Zach Guthrie, I know who I'm going to give the extra game to.
Hmm. Yeah, whoever's waiting in the car park.
Whoever's not Scott Selwood.
So that's who we think is on the outer for them. But where do we see Geelong finishing in 2017?
I got them in 4th spot, just rounding out the top four positions. I think there's just too much competition for them for those spots. And they've lost that home ground advantage playing some at Etihad now. Yeah. So I think you can't pencil in some certain wins that you usually would. The other thing that I'm interested to see, another player called Wiley Buzzer, young fella.
Drafted last year, became a bit of a cult hero purely on name alone.
Name Wiley Buzzer. But he actually looks like a love child of...
Chance Bateman?
Craig Lowndes and Weird Al Yankovic. If you check out his photo on the site, on Geelong's site, yeah.
So I want to know his nickname. Like, do you call him Coyote? Do you call him, I don't know, Louis the Fly?
Buzzer. I don't know.
I don't know.
Mr. Aldrin?
To find out. Yeah, could be.
Yeah.
I've got him in at 7th. I reckon they didn't have as good a season as they probably could have last year, even though they finished second.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a soft draw, I thought.
A little bit. And to be honest, in the qualifying final, it was one Isaac Smith kick away of not making it to a prelim.
Yeah.
Having said that, I thought that was as good as Hawthorn could play, and it still wasn't good enough. So that settles the difference between the two sides on the year.
Yep.
But yeah, I don't know. Like, getting into the last week, did they feel like a premiership threat?
No.
But only because... Having said that, I thought the same thing about the Bulldogs, though.
Well, yeah. I thought, like many people, the Bulldogs were a heartfelt fancy, but you didn't really think they would pull it off. And
yeah.
I was wrong, like a lot of the footy world. But, yeah, look, it's easy to be proven wrong here because Geelong are a very, very talented side. But I think they're going to drop a couple, especially playing away from Cardinia Park so often. Mm. So, though... I could easily be wrong, and more than likely will be, but I see them 7th.
Yeah, I said 4th, but like we said, I mean, their strength is also their weakness, and everybody said it. Dangerfield, Selwood, if one of them goes down, that takes a lot out of their side.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe next year they'll add Ablett to that. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, I've got them in 4th still, which is a little bit down from last year, but it's still, they're going to be up and about there, because that's just too much talent.
Not much to be disappointed about.
If they had Delidio on the side, I'd put them as 1.
If anybody had Delidio in the side. he's not playing. Who'll play more games next year, Delidio or Scott Selwood?
Oh, Delidio.
You reckon? I reckon it'll be close.
It's going to be, it's going to be a line call, I think.
Yeah, I think plus or minus 2 will cover them both. All right, that'll do us for Geelong.
All right, good luck, Cats.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.